Welcome to Two Guys and a Question. Between them, Alan Creedy and Danny Jefferson have almost 100 years hands-on experience with funerals, funeral directors, finance, and real-life situations. Every Tuesday and Thursday, they field questions for more than 1,200 subscribers, hoping to stimulate your thinking and resolve your challenges.
This is Danny Jefferson.
And this is Alan Creedy.
Alan, my really in-depth relationship with you started when I needed you to help and assist me with the sale of my business several years ago, and discovered that realistically you were the top numbers guy I had ever talked to in my life that had a personality.
I'm not sure. Oh, really? Thank you very much.
Most of them, looking at him, it was like a rock with lips.
Yeah.
So what should I look for in an accountant? What should I expect?
Well, this is something very dear to my heart, but is actually the biggest challenge I have experienced in my career as a consultant. My expectations of your accountant are apparently significantly higher than yours. And so let me just go into that.
All right.
Most funeral homes look at their local accountant. And by the way, I think you should have a local accountant. There's some very good funeral home accounting firms, but I really like the idea of being able to pick up the phone and call someone and say, let's have a cup of coffee and talk about my business.
So what's the difference in a bookkeeper and an accountant?
A bookkeeper is just what it sounds like. They keep your books. They make sure things are posted in the right place, and they make sure that bills are paid and invoices are sent out and so on and so forth. The accountant should be your analyst, should be, I think of them as a potential executive helper, part-time helper in terms of providing you management insights. Unfortunately, what I've found is that most accountants really aren't interested in doing that. And that's a shame.
Because why is that?
I don't know. I really don't, because it's additional fees, and I don't know. I find it fun work. But the reality is, this is, like I said, this is a big issue for me. So I believe you should have a local accountant, somebody you can go have coffee with periodically. I have occasionally, maybe this three or four times, I have helped clients find local accountants, and I'll do the interviewing. And what I will say to them is, first of all, I'm going to give you all the data, all the information you need to analyze this person's books. I'm going to tell you what the chart of accounts is supposed to look like. I'm going to tell you what the ratios are supposed to be. I'm going to give you all of that.
All right.
All right. But I think you should be meeting with your client probably twice a year, and you should be telling them what you see in that context. You should create the ratios. You know, what is their cost of goods sold? What is their cost of labor? What is their average sale? And you should say, I see that your average sale is going down from the last time we met. Maybe we should explore why that might be.
And that's a good question.
Or, I see that your cost of sales is above what Alan recommends, and you know what's going on here. So that at least it's a talk, all right?
Are there any programs or apps or anything that we could get to help record some of that information, or anything I need to be using to give my accountant?
I actually am working on providing that. It's a very complicated. Well, maybe I'm overcomplicated. I don't know.
No, but, it's but complicated.
I simplify this. I really do. I because I found that funeral directors are, by and large, not inclined to analytical work. So I tell them straight up, there are five things I want you to pay attention to. And I tell the accountant that. I said, I don't want you to get any more granular than this. First of all, call volume. That's a key driver. Second of all is average sale, key driver. All right. Those two elements alone can make a huge impact on your bottom line. Huge.
Impact. All right.
Cost of goods sold. All right. That is a ratio of and how to calculate it. I actually produce a booklet that I give accountants for that. Cost of labor. That's an expense item. And then that's four. So the fifth one is also EBITDA and its ratio to net sales. And why not profit? Some people say, well, profit is manipulated in for tax reasons in a small business. So it's not reliable. It'll vary from business to business. So EBITDA, though, is a way to normalize the process, so it's comparable. So I give that to him, and I also typically will tell the accountant, I'm available for a year if you need me. You call me up and you want to discuss this stuff, I'll discuss it. I'm not charging for it. This is just my windmill that I'm tilting my spear at because I think the guys really need it. Now, the other thing I tell them in terms of expectations is under no circumstances, never, ever should there be a November surprise. Calling the client up and telling them that they're going to owe an additional $40,000 in taxes this year on November 30th is not acceptable, period. That conversation should be had sometime in June, and assuming their calendar taxpayer.
Okay, so should that be a question that our listeners should be asking of their accountant?
Unequivocally.
July 4th, fireworks?
They need to be turning their books in, and I know how this works. There's a lot of sloppy bookkeeping going on, but that's something they need to make sure their accountant is aware of, and the accountant should be doing that so that they have time. You know, being told on November 30th, I had one client was told that he owed $400,000, and he wasn't a big funeral home. Now, it turned out the accountant had made an error, but lose sleep. That guy didn't know where he was going to get that money.
Oh, man.
So that's my point. So you need to turn your accountant into an advisor. If they will. I'm going to tell people maybe it's going to overwhelm me. I don't know. But this is a big deal for me, and I published this booklet. It's free. Anybody can have it. I'll work with your accountant. I'll even interview an accountant for you. To help you find the right person and make sure they understand what their expectations are. So I've done that on a couple of three occasions. But you know, you also say, what is it? What should I pay? Well, what are you getting? If you're just paying for a tax return, $2,000-$3,000, that should do it. But you know, if you're asking somebody to be an advisor in this way and really commit time, it could be $15,000.
Right.
You know, again, it's what are you getting? You need to ask yourself these questions. You know, am I getting the kind of service that quantifies $15,000 a year? Okay, if you are, fine. If you're not, then you either need to correct it or find somebody else.
But if you currently have an accountant and you switch accountants because of price, and you don't know that accountant was actually saving you $300,000 a year, a little loopholes and things like this, that $15,000 wasn't so pricey after all.
Well, again, cost benefit.
Right.
But you asked, is there a program? Most funeral homes, I would say 95%, well, the ones that aren't with services, are on QuickBooks. And you know, Danny, I used to be an accounting snob, okay?
All right.
And I looked down my nose for a long time at QuickBooks, but I really never had taken a look at it. QuickBooks, there's definitely things about QuickBooks that a high-level accountant would want to change, all right? But to the average small business, it's a very robust program, very robust.
And always remember this, that if you put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out.
Well, and unfortunately, but if you got your untrained daughter or your nephew that can't get a job anywhere else doing your books, and they don't really understand concepts like timing, matching, and so on, and they're not in tune with making sure that the same things are posted to the same account every time and protecting that chart of accounts, you're going to have real problems. Yeah. I have to do forensic accounting sometimes on my valuations in order to get the right answer.
Well, you can't see me out there in podcast land, but I am nodding my head. Alan's definitely. It's crazy how we get caught up in day-to-day business, and then tomorrow becomes next month, next 6 months, and when those things creep up on you, they are not good. So you need to have an accountant. You need to have a good bookkeeper. Is there anything else they need, Alan?
No. I think where somebody like me plugs in really is some of the more specific issues relative to funeral service pricing strategy, for instance. How to shop for caskets. We should, that's a question that we should ask. I am seeing people, and this is a product of cremation, but it is also a product of strategy, who are reducing their cost of goods sold from 17%, which is the industry standard, down to as low as 12%.
Wow.
Understanding a few of those, if I can figure out a way to simplify that, we probably ought to do it sometime.
Well, I think that would be another question on another right. podcast. I got out of this that accountants are extremely important. I got out of this that it would help, obviously, if they have some funeral experience.
I can
in
give
the industry,
them that.
Right. And bookkeepers are worth every penny you're paying for them as long as they are doing their job.
As long as they know how to bookkeep.
Right.
Not all of them do.
And we're going to answer some more questions. You can do it. We can help.
Remember to send your questions by clicking the link at www.twoguysandaquestion.com. New questions are answered every Tuesday and Thursday at 4:22 p.m. Eastern Time.